Without Bible class teachers, it's real hard to have Bible classes. So big thanks to Bible class teachers who are, let's see. Hey, I heard a beep. Uh-oh. That sounded like an off beep. That was an off beep. Thank you. In this class, we're going to be studying the book of Titus, as Brother Brian mentioned in his prayer. Appreciate that prayer a whole lot. And looking forward to our quarter-long study of the book of Titus. So if you've done that math, then you are with me and know that we have about 10, 12 weeks to study the three chapters that make up the book of Titus. So this will be an interesting adventure for us. This will give us opportunities to dig deeply into the text and stop and smell some roses that we otherwise might have to just glance at as we pass by if we were more rushed in our approach. Thankfully, we are not. So we'll be able to dig into a lot of the meat of the book of Titus, which I believe you will find to be a very, very meaty and rich book. This was a recommended study for us. I'm always happy to push to the front of the line of my teaching schedule and priority those things that are of interest to you. So if you have any interest for upcoming studies, let somebody know. Let me know, let one of the elders, anybody know. You can let anybody know. And we will be happy to be most accommodating to that. I want us to hit the ground running this morning in our study of Titus and look at some of the hearty meat that it has to offer. We're going to be able to dig into a lot of topics that the book will introduce us to. We're going to do all of this while maintaining a pace of study that allows us to reach our goal of completing the book in the quarter's end. And this morning, we're going to jump right into it and talk about elders. Titus chapter 1, verse 5. Titus chapter 1, verse 5 lets us know one of the major purposes of this book. I've got a ton of introductory material to share with you, and my general approach is to kind of sprinkle that in among some of the first several, few or several classes that I teach on the book. So we'll incorporate it, fold it in, make it nice and happy. We'll look at some of the text. We'll bring out introductory background material as it's an aid to our understanding of the text. And one point that kind of needs to be made right here, right now, is that Titus is a book that focuses on Titus's ministry while in Crete. And here's a bit of supplied background material that helps us. If you look at Titus 1, verse 12, Titus 1, 12, what kind of folks were these Cretans? What's the Bible say about them here?
Liars, evil beasts, slow bellies.
Yeah, not a ringing endorsement, is it? Paul says, Paul is our writer, which you already know, which fact we'll kind of dig into in a bit more detail a little later. But Paul is our inspired writer here, and Titus has been left in Crete, Titus 1:5. And here is what one of the Cretans say about themselves. They're always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons, or slow bellies. So, I mean, this is Titus's field for evangelism. Maybe not exactly as white unto harvest as Jesus once said that another mission field was. So Titus has been left in Crete amongst these liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons or slow bellies, and just so you don't miss the point, verse 13 says what? This is true. So one of the Cretans are saying about other Cretans that, listen, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons, slow bellies. And, oh, by the way, that's not just something that's said, that's actually true. So God is letting us know the veracity of that claim. It's true. And that's whom Titus is encountering every day. That is the population that Titus is in and around. And that's where Titus was left to plant God's seed. I know a preacher, pretty good preacher. Well, really good preacher. Come on. He's a really good preacher. Who for years and years and years and years and years worked outside of Las Vegas, Sin City, with the Lord's church. Good congregation, good preacher, good congregation. He's since retired from ministry, since retired from formal ministry. I don't guess ministers ever truly retire, but he is no longer in that work. He's enjoying a slower pace of life in ministry. And we would talk at various points of his ministry outside of Las Vegas. And he would share some of the challenges, shall we say, in working at a place known for its debauchery. And I kind of thought about him as I was thinking about Titus over there in Crete. We'll talk more about Crete, where it is, and how Titus ended up there momentarily. But we're jumping right in, and we're seeing Titus left at Crete. And, oh, by the way, there's an assessment of Crete. That's probably not the kind of stuff they print on the postcards. Visit Crete, where we're always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. And it's true, probably not a selling point of the city. But that was truly where Titus was. And what Titus was supposed to be doing was breaking through that wickedness with the power of God's word. Yes, sir.
Not to get off topic, but a lot of times when I'm talking to people at work,
oh, yeah,
and I'm trying to describe where the church building is, they know where this place is.
Gotcha.
Right down the street.
Gotcha.
And I can say, well,
Divas are good. For the longest time, y'all are going to make fun of me. For the longest time, I was thinking, God Iva, what's God Iva? And I was like, oh, I know what that is. I had to go in there a few times to figure out, I'm kidding. But I'm glad that you're awake this morning. A lot of Mac's friends know where that place is, so there you go, right? There you go. But I saw that and I was thinking, because it's G-O-D-I-V-A-S. I was like, God, I know what it is now. But what I'm saying is the first few times I saw it, I was like, what's a God Iva, you know? My naivete, I'm proud to claim. Yeah, I see God in everything. Thanks, Dee Dee, for saving me. Thank you. Thank you. Julie made fun of me. Dee Dee helped me out. Anyway, Paul sends Titus to such a place as this. Lesson here, the gospel can fit in anywhere. There's no part of town that Paul says, oh, the gospel won't work over there. Are you listening? There's no place that's too wicked and too far gone for God to make a difference. Paul didn't look at Crete and say, oh, it'll never happen. You'll never plant a church there. You'll never make any of those folks Christians. That didn't happen at all. This was a wicked place, but it was still a mission field for Paul, for Titus. And not just that, one of the primary jobs for Titus to do while in Crete was what? This is back to Titus chapter 1, verse 5. What was Titus to do for the brethren at Crete? All right, appoint elders. This is why I left you in Crete, Paul says to Titus, so that you might put what remained in order. Put what remains in order. I want you to associate that statement with a church having elders. Paul says, Titus, one of the things I need you to do is to supply what is lacking. I'm reading from the English Standard Version this morning. I intend to use English Standard Version for the totality of this class in Titus. What do other translations say? Titus 1:5. Put what remains in order are the words that jump off the page to me from the ESV. Somebody have a King James, New King James, something else you want to give us what it's a? Set in order. Things that are wanting. That's a phrase I was looking for. Things that are wanting or lacking. Yes, ma'am. Somebody. Arrange. Very nice. Very nice. I want you to associate all of this with a church's having elders. Okay? Because Paul says you need to put what remains in order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. So, might we say this morning, as we kick off our study of the book of Titus, that God is telling Titus that elders need to be a part of every congregation. Is that something that you're getting from Titus 1:5? Paul is told by God that you need to fix what is lacking, appoint or set in order some of the different renderings we've shared. And so Paul, God through Paul, let's say, because our understanding of inspiration is kind of a prerequisite to this study of Titus here, we understand that God is speaking through Paul. Paul is not speaking of himself. He's inspired by God. These are God's words. And God's words in Titus 1:5 are letting us know that he wants elders in his churches. Yes or no? Shake or nod? True or false? God wants elders in his churches. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, God is saying here, if I see a church that doesn't have elders, I see something that needs to be put in order. I see something that is lacking. I see something that is wanting. So why might a congregation not have elders? They don't have anyone qualified. Okay. Sam, yes, sir. Yes, sir, Sam.
Even if you have four or five people, back to three. They haven't deserved the offer, they have the want to be. When Paul by the Holy Spirit told Titus, Paul and Barnabas did that to the churches that they established during the first missionary work by the Holy Spirit in
Right. Why might a congregation not have elders? Congregation doesn't have elders, and you look at that congregation, and what would be a good reason for a congregation not to have elders? Answer's already been given. A good reason for a congregation not to have elders is they don't have men qualified, or they don't have a plurality of men qualified. Because we understand about elders that God's structure. This is based on 1 Timothy chapter 3. I appreciate Sam's connection of Titus 1, 1 Timothy chapter 3. That's a connection I want you to make in your minds. As a matter of fact, I want you to connect 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. Look at these three books as a set. In the denominational world, these books, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, this trio of books, you know, does anyone know what it's called? 1, 2 Timothy, Titus? 1, 2 Timothy, and Titus in the denominational world and the Bible study world is called the pastoral epistles. Pastor being an unfortunate term used by the denominational world to almost always reference their preacher, you know. When I studied these books in preaching school, nearly certain we called them the preacher letters or the preacher epistles, maybe. But 1, 2 Timothy and Titus, these are a three-book set. This is kind of some helpful background thematic material. 1, 2 Timothy and Titus, this is a three-book set that is written to preachers, Timothy and Titus, written about the preaching ministry, written to cover such big topics as church governance, which we're getting a piece of here in Titus chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 3, church governance. Also, the need for sound doctrine, the need for a minister to read and study. These are major, you know, lines from 1, 2 Timothy and Titus. So these are, Sam, go ahead. Indeed. That's right. Yes. That's right. That's right. I got you. Yep. There are pastors in the Lord's church. However, when 1, 2 Timothy and Titus are referred to as the pastoral epistles, elders are not anywhere in mind with that designation. The thrust is, well, these are letters written to preachers. So, you know, just kind of do that math in your mind. You know, we have letters that are written to preachers, preacher letters, but just know that everybody else out there calls these pastoral letters and understand what they mean. Kind of have to crack that code in your mind. But don't, you know, don't leave that point too quickly. Understand that these are letters that talk about key essential ingredients to a church's structure and a church's existence. One of which is the appointment, the installation of elders. So I've asked you, what is a good reason why a church may not have elders? And you've gotten that question exactly right. A good reason for a church not to have elders is there aren't any men qualified. As we will see, there are qualifications to these men who will be elders. And if you don't have somebody qualified, or to Pam's point, if you don't have a plurality of men qualified, well, then you're kind of stuck, right? You're unable to have elders if you don't have men who are qualified. That's a good reason for a church not to have elders. What would be a bad reason for a church not to have elders? Don't want them. The preacher wants to stay in charge. Sometimes that's the case, you know. Sometimes that's the case. Wes, did I see your hand go up? Absolutely. Indeed. Indeed, there is a role that there is a the church has pastors. The pastors aren't preachers unless you have. I wrote an article about this a few weeks ago. Unless you have a man who is both an elder and a preacher, right? That happens on occasion, but a preacher is not a pastor unless he's also an elder. In which case, his being a pastor has nothing to do with his being a preacher. So, what's a bad reason for a church not to have elders? You've knocked this one out of the park too. Hope you get all the questions in this study of Titus right. I'm sure you will. You're smart folks. A good reason for a church not to have elders is we don't have men qualified. A bad reason for a church not to have elders is we don't want to do it that way. We don't want them. Maybe we've got a preacher who enjoys running the show. Not me. I don't run the show. I don't want to run the show. I don't enjoy running shows. So I wouldn't be the preacher at a congregation that didn't want elders, that wanted a preacher to be kind of the ringleader. I wouldn't be that guy, because I don't want to be that guy. That's not who I am. That's not what I like. But it is what a lot of people like. And maybe the guy who's running the show, maybe he's not a preacher. Maybe he's a Diotrephes, you remember from 1 John. Maybe he's a guy who's been around for a million years. Maybe he's not been around for a million years. Maybe he's got a lot of money, right? I want you to know, I'm not talking about anybody. I got nobody. Surprisingly blank and startlingly blank when I'm talking about this. I'm not dredging up any congregation that I know about, although I'm sure we're talking about some shoes that fit a lot of people in a lot of places. So you got a congregation where there is a guy, or maybe a gal. It's not always the men who want to be in charge of things. Ladies, looking at you. Sometimes ladies want to be in charge of things. And sometimes the ladies won't let there be elders in a congregation because that means they'll no longer be calling the shots. These are all bad reasons for a church not to have elders. Some congregations are quote unquote, I want to show this to the camera and say it for the audio folks, quote unquote, air quotes, some congregations are quote unquote doing just fine, quote unquote, without elders. And you know what they say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So we're doing just fine, quote unquote, without elders. We don't see any reason to mess it up by installing elders. Oh, really? Read Titus 1:5 again. And you tell me if a congregation is, quote unquote, doing just fine, quote unquote, without elders, quote unquote. God says you need to put what remains or lacks in order and appoint elders in every town as I direct. So, God's goal for His congregations, these are God's congregations, by the way, God's goal is for these congregations to have elders. Yes or no? You agree with that? True or false? What you thinking? Yeah. Bless you. God's goal is for every congregation to have elders. So, would it be fair? Would it be good for us to say that a congregation's goal should be to have elders? I mean, if God wants it for you, you ought to want it for you, right? Right. So we need to let folks know that God's plan for the church is this type of organizational structure. This is what God wants. This is what God wants. And it's just as wrong to throw this out and say, well, this is what God wants, but this is the way we want to do it. It's just as wrong to do that with elders as it is instrumental music or baptism. We would look at a congregation that says, hey, God wants a cappella singing, but we want instrumental music. We would look at that congregation and say, we got some work to do here, y'all. We have to get you to see that it's about what God wants, not what we want. If there's a congregation out there that says, hey, God wants people to be baptized to be members here, but we don't want that. We would look at that congregation, I hope we would look at that congregation and say, y'all, we got some work to do here. So we ought to just as equally and fairly look at a congregation that says we don't want elders and say, wait a minute. We got some work to do here. With the big footnote to this conversation being what we started with, there is a good reason why a congregation may not have elders. There is an acceptable reason why a congregation may not have elders. You know, the only thing worse than having elders is having unscriptural, unqualified elders. So we don't want to rush the goal of having elders and blow right past these qualifications, which are given next. Which we'll make a study of here momentarily. Yes, sir, Mr. Mack.
So, the congregation has men who are strictly qualified.
Okay.
And they do not desire.
Right.
Are they?
So, this is the second time in class that this whole desire, the office of an elder, is mentioned. And that comes from our companion chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 3. If anyone desires the office of an overseer, he desires or aspires a good work or a noble task. You know, since we've got some time to stop and smell some roses in Titus, let's do so. What's it mean to desire the office of an elder? Don't answer. What does it mean to let me on the fly come up with an analogy? What does it mean to desire the office of an elder? What does it mean to desire, don't giggle? What does it mean to desire a good, healthy body? What's that mean? Does it mean you want to do it all the time, 24/7? No. You're not always going to be head over heels in love with what you're doing. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Is anybody in here always head over the heels in love with what you're doing? Are you, huh? Are you head over the heels, always head over the heels in love with being on your diet or your lifestyle? Man, my no-carb lifestyle. I've started so many no-carb lifestyles. It's not funny. Which, I mean, they're clearly not lifestyles if I'm starting them and stopping them every time I drive by Krispy Kreme. You know what I'm saying? It's clearly not a low-carb lifestyle if I'm getting the hot fudge sundae after dinner. What does it mean to desire something? Because people get real funny when we put that word desire in front of the words the office of an elder. Okay? And people think, unless I'm always happy about being an elder, then I don't desire the office of an elder. What? Hang on just a second, Sam. What? Since when do you expect desiring something means you're always going to be pumped up and motivated and just, I can't wait to do this? Since when? Do you desire to go to Disney World? Man, there's a lot involved in going to Disney World. You got to pack all that junk. And if you're planning a Disney trip, my apologies. It's fun. You'll love it. You'll take some awesome pictures. But man, it's so much work, so much money. And then you get there and the lines are so long and it's so hot and it rains every day. And it's so expensive. And then you got to come all the way. You got to pack all that stuff all up again, plus the stuff you bought, and come all the way back home. But we love it. We love going to Disney. We desire that family vacation. Are you always head over the heels in love with the idea? As an elder, are you always going to love being an elder? As a Christian, let me ask you this, y'all, real talk. As a Christian, do you always love everything about being a Christian? I'll speak up here and say, no, not always. Do I desire to be a Christian? Oh, you betcha. Even when I don't feel up to it, even when I, quote, don't want to do it anymore. Do you desire to be a Christian? Yeah. I recall a conversation with a man who was qualified to be an elder. In his living room, I say, brother, do you desire for the church to have elders? Yes. Do you desire for this congregation to be organized the way God wants it to be organized? Yes. Do you desire using your talents to help other people? Yes. Guess what? You desire to be an elder. I'm kind of scared of the guy who goes around campaigning to be an elder. Make me your next elder. Make me your next elder. I want to be an elder. My 20-year experience has made me a little leery of that situation. Make me your next elder. I can't wait to be an elder. Ooh, when I'm an elder. I'm a little worried at that. I kind of like it when you have to talk a fella into being an elder. I kind of like it when you have to say, you know, you really need to do this. Kind of like it. Does that mean that fellow who needs to be talked into it doesn't desire to be an elder? No. 100% not. What's it mean to desire to be an elder? Well, I'll tell you something. You're not going to love it every single day. You're not going to love being an elder every single day. I've never been an elder. You're not going to love being an elder every single day. It's not going to give you the warm and fuzzies, and you're not going to feel like you're cuddled up to Jesus on a beach somewhere every single day that you're an elder. You also don't feel that way every single day that you're a Christian. Have you ever had to talk somebody into being baptized? Shake or nod. You ever had to talk somebody into being baptized? Yeah. I had to be talked into being baptized. I mean, I gave the preacher I studied with fits. He had to work and work and work so hard to talk me into being baptized. And then guess what? There came a point where I was ready to be baptized and I desired to be saved, even though I didn't want to, even though I had to be talked into it, even though I kicked and screamed, even though I was afraid, even though being a Christian was not always fun, I desire that salvation. Same for an elder. A guy is not disqualified because you have to talk him into using his talents to be an elder. A guy is not unfit to be an elder because you have to talk to him a few times. You have to pray hard. You have to really work on it. Guy's not unfit to be an elder because that happens. Now, there is a lack of desire. You know, if someone says, no way, no how, who was the famous guy who said, if nominated, I will not run. If elected, I will not serve. Who was that guy? Don't know him. But if an elder or an elder candidate, a guy is like, no way, no how, not going to happen, Well, then, obviously, you've got an unworkable situation. But if you got a guy who's on the fence, if you got a guy who thinks, well, maybe, but I don't know. I'm unsure. I've already told you that's my favorite situation. I like that situation a whole lot more than I like the guy who's campaigning to be an elder, who's running to be an elder. Hey, make me an elder, and kind of Jeroboam style against Rehoboam. Not a fan of that. But a guy who desires for the church to have elders because he understands the church needs to have elders. A guy who desires to use his talents to help others because he has talents that can help others, that guy desires to be an elder. Is he going to love being an elder every minute of every day? Of course not. But if we're being honest with ourselves, we don't love every minute of every day being a Christian. But you still desire that salvation, that word desire. Don't let it trip you up. When we talk about elders, it means the same thing it means in every other application we use it. Sam, I cut you off a few seconds ago. Do you remember what you were going to share with us? Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. 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 Absolutely.
Then, in my opinion, if that desire is to want the office to serve itself.
Right. Good. Excellent point. Did Jesus desire your salvation? Yeah. Was Jesus happy all the time about what he had to do for you to be saved? Not even close. You can desire the office of an elder, even though it doesn't make you happy every single second of every single minute of every single hour of every single day. There are a lot of could be, should be elders who aren't because they think they have to be happy all the time about being an elder. That ain't what desire in office means. Can you make your point fast? We'll end here. Go ahead, sir.
I'd
say so.
And
60-ish.
Paul is describing this church as lacking. Exactly a flattering testimony.
No.
It is an extremely unflattering testimony against that congregation that they don't have men, that they haven't developed men who are qualified to be elders.
Nice point. Nice point. Very good. God wants his congregations to have elders, and so should we. We'll pick it up here next week. I told you we're just getting started, so we'll continue. Thanks much for a great opening class. A lot of good discussion. We'll continue next week, Lord willing.
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.